All right. How many of you had a lot of answers that related to what goes in our mouth? Yeah, we did too. We did too. How many of you struggle with sugar? You just love sugar. Man, I love, don't you love sugar? Let's sing a song about sugar. That's my downfall. There you go. There you go. Hey, we do have prayer needs tonight that we will take up at the close. We have several that are really, really serious, but I thought I'd kind of break our order a little bit tonight and go ahead and we'll look together. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 20 or your handheld device. If you do, we will have it on the screen tonight, but Numbers chapter 20. I believe at this point it's too late to go over. I was trying to reach Pastor Don. They started at 6 o'clock, so I think if you were interested in Stephen ministry at all, it's probably closed for now, but we're actually going to start another group in the new year and get this first group through their training and kind of sharpen things up, and then we'll run again anyway in case you were interested in that at all. We are next week going to begin the introduction to what we're calling People of the Book, and I think this fall series is just going to be great. It's really on the subject of Bible study, Bible reading, primarily though really Bible study, how to understand God's Word for yourself, which is so important. It's really easy for, you know, Christians to kind of take that approach, well, you know, it's always somebody else to feed me, but really we know biblically that all of you are to be examiners of God's Word. The Bereans are the great example. It says that they weighed what the apostles were teaching them, and so they themselves would take it back to God's Word, and we're able to do that. So we're going to try to really help you with that. Now, next Wednesday night will be unique. It's an excellent video. I viewed it years ago, and we just picked it up recently. Dr. Craig Lamp, I know a few of you would know Craig Lamp. He now has gone to be with the Lord, but was a wonderful Bible scholar and a lover of the antiquities and ancient Bible texts, etc., and he will be excellent. It's a video that he primarily is lecturing in and then takes you to different parts, but you really will get an understanding of biblical history in a fun way, so it's not a boring, it's a very, very good video. That will kick off things next week, and then the following week, I'll begin the teaching with the subject of why is it important to study the Bible. And then we really appreciate if Dr. Vince is here tonight, Dr. Vince Medina here, he's going to help us out, Dr. Donald Johns, and then Dr. Fred Holtham is going to, they're going to kind of participate along the way on some really good subjects. So, I mean, we're going to have an incredible fall together. Stephen Ministry will be taking place, and there are those getting training there, about 40, I believe it is, tonight, and then hopefully some of the families will be coming in, parents that have been in the parenting class, but really three things I'd encourage you. Number one, to attend yourself. Number two, if you can just think of anybody that doesn't normally come out on a Wednesday night, invite them and tell them what it's about, and that if you think they would have any interest to learn how to more themselves be able to handle God's Word, study God's Word. Some of the weeks I know will all be practical, but I know of a few of them that are going to be so, I think, useful for you to go home and just really be able to dig in and hone in your abilities with the Word. And then the other thing is just to encourage you to engage. We've talked that word now for months, but to encourage you on Wednesday nights, kind of look around and don't just go necessarily right to your table and those that you know, but by this time in the night, it'd be great if already you've shaken hands with like six or seven people, or you've stood and talked to somebody that you've never met before. That kind of thing would encourage you to do that on these Wednesdays. So how many of you are ready for the Word now? Are you ready? All right, great. Tonight, our last fruit of the Spirit is, if you haven't been following along, though I'm sure most of you have been here through part of this, but we are on the very last fruit of the Spirit, and by our video and by our opening question, obviously, we're going to talk about what? Self-control, self-control. Did you notice the gals struggled slightly with that in the video? And how many of you men know that that's just the way ladies are? How many know what I'm talking about? Come on, guys. Huh? I'm very alone up here right now, aren't I? I'm very alone. Self-control. When I mention self-control, what do you think about? When I mention self-control, what comes to your mind? Self-control. And not talking about others, but it's self-control. So how about for yourself? What comes to mind when you think about the word self-control? Pizza. Thank you very much for that, Ron. I'm really not looking for answers. This is just a rhetorical question. But thank you, Ron, for sharing that. And many others are really right now thinking about steaming pizza off mozzarella cheese themselves. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. This will be our text tonight that I'd like us to look at an Old Testament story that many of you will know very well, obviously, but we're going to walk through it a bit here. Verse number 1. Chapter 20, Numbers chapter 20. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. Now just pause there for just a moment. Most would believe, and there's no really reason not to think that this is where we are, that we are 40 years into the journey. It opens up in the first month, most likely the first month of the 40th year. And how many years did they spend in the wilderness? 40 years in the desert, right? And then finally, so they are near the end. They were about ready to head into the promised land. And as we look at verse number 2 and 3, we see why Moses reacted the way that he did. The entire community comes to him, and all of them are murmuring. They are complaining. It's a word that we read several times in the narrative, of course, of the Exodus. So 40 years with this bunch, I think, was plenty for anybody, especially for poor old Moses at this point. But what does Moses do? And this is his pattern. And it's a good pattern as a leader. He goes, leaves the congregation, goes to the tent of meeting. He falls before the Lord, him and Aaron, prostrate before the Lord. And then he goes in to inquire of the Lord. And he hears from the Lord what to do. And then he comes out with that. And then comes, as many of you know, one of the most tragic moments and decisions anyone makes in the entire Bible. I mean, this ranks, if we were to talk, biggest mistakes that someone made. Verse number 10, verses 10 and 11. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock in obedience, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Pause again for a moment. Lesson number one that really is a side of the lesson of self-control here is that even though sometimes things seem to work the way and sometimes force, it doesn't always mean that we're doing it the right way. And that's true of so much as a church that we need to consider. But our lives many times even, whether in a marriage or as singles or in parenting or whatever it might be, many times and everything seems to be lining up. I remember a great example of this from Chuck Colson. And I remember reading this years ago, and I was so appreciative of his words, and I so respected his mentality and the way that he viewed it. But he was talking about that they had moved his prison ministry out of a very, very small office, and they moved into a much larger building, and he wrote in his article about it. He was thanking God and the people that had given, and he was given a report back in his newsletter, but he said, "You know, we do approach this with caution," because he said, "We realize this doesn't necessarily mean that the hand or the blessing of God is upon our ministry just because we're in a bigger building." He said, "We realize God was blessing us in that little building." And even if this is the case, he said, we're careful to say we believe, we're walking with God, it's all to God's glory. But he made a careful note there that even when things seem to always be working out, and as we look at it right here, at this point, verse number 11, we could all think, great. Look at how God has once again provided water for his people, and look at the great leader that Moses is. Why? Because the water's gushing out, and there stands Moses and Aaron. I wouldn't say Moses had a smile on his face, but there stands Moses and Aaron. But what was the case? Verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the Lord of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. Wow. Self-control or self-constraint can be such a difficult thing. We all know what it is to lose it in whatever way it might be. And a lot of times it's over people, seem to be probably sometimes the greatest irritant that we have, like the little grain of sand in a pearl, right? That thing that just grinds us. Sometimes it might be someone very close to you, someone that you don't even know, could be in a parking lot in cars, okay? It could be someone you're not even aware of, or it may be a lawnmower that you pull the rope and it won't start. How many guys, any been there, gals? Huh? Cell phone goes dead just at the moment that you're needing it most, right? I'm convinced super glue, God allowed that invention to cause us to have self-control. How many know what I'm talking about? Every time I use super glue, my fingers end up like this, and I'm in there working out that super glue, right? But seriously, how many of you have ever, I mean, just lost it, and then you realize how silly it is because it's a completely inanimate object that you are just so frustrated with? They can't hear you yell at them. They don't know any feelings you have, and yet you're just giving it to that, whatever it may be. For Moses, it was people. And that awesome nation of Israel, obviously, that tested his and God's patience so much. And here we already see a connection between, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, they interlink so much, but we see the connection of patience with self-control. And they go hand in hand tonight. Moses loses it. He lets them have it, but to think for 40 years he had put up with these people. And most, if not all, of that first generation, they're already gone. They are that close to entering into the promised land. Miriam has died now. It won't be long before Aaron dies in the narrative. And so we are near the end of those 40 years. They are about to head in. He has had 40 years of what? Well, here, if this isn't a reenactment, I don't know what is. But the very same thing that the parents and the grandparents did to Moses at the start of the journey is happening all over again. They're thirsty. There's no water. And what did they do? They begin to quarrel at Moses. And really, it says they were quarreling with who? Quarreling with the Lord. As they quarrel with Moses. So I think Moses' patience obviously runs thin, and he uses that term, you bunch of rebels. How many know Moses was a good man? He was a good man. But you know the irony to that tonight? Is that actually, when we look at the Hebrew word that's used there, actually, the very people that he says you are, it means rebellious or you defy authority, is the man who is calling them a rebel. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Says that we should be so careful in judging others, because so often when we judge others, you who judge, Paul said, you do the very same things. And that's what Moses did here. So here is Moses calling them rebels, and actually he's the one defying authority, and he pays such a steep price. And it is so steep that for many of you, and myself included, many years ago, I remember thinking that, and I'm sure so many here have, and for centuries people have looked at this and thought, surely, wondered why God was so hard on Moses over that one act. I mean, don't you think by now he had built up his account and he had done plenty of good things and earned plenty of points with God that God would cut him slack on this one time? How many of you felt that way about it? Oh, there's only a few of us fleshly people here. You're all so, so spiritual. But Moses, he lost his temper, his self-control. And God's judgment upon him was that he would not be allowed to lead that next generation that for 40 years he led them as little children, and they've grown up, and now they're going to enter in with the parents and grandparents left behind. He would not be the one to lead them in, but Joshua would be. How terribly sad a story that is. What a price he paid. Why? He paid because of his lack of self-control. When we look at the word in Galatians 5, and we've gone through now love and joy, right? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When we look at that list, Galatians chapter 5, the word here that Paul uses in the Greek is one of the ways to express this word is to have resolute control over one's desires, which in turn produce action. Makes sense, doesn't it? So to have control over desires, because what? The desires that if we don't control them, they will produce action. Or as we control them, they're going to produce an action. I remember years ago counseling a family that really shared a wonderful testimony in the church years ago. And their whole story of God's grace, they just kind of, the whole family basically came and got saved. And it was one after the other after the other. And the father, as I recall, I think was one of the last to come in. Well, I spent hours with them as a couple, though. They had all kinds of issues that they were working through. And then many times they would bring in their children. And then I remember in particular, we were dealing with the whole family on this occasion. And dad was the one that was really being focused on. And he was losing, and he had that anger and that temper, and I'll never forget his words to me. He said, well, you know, Pastor, I'm Irish, and you know the way us Irishmen can be. Now, just let me tell you tonight, the Irish have nothing over the Italians. Could I hear an amen tonight? I'm married to one of them. Oops. Thankfully, Carla's not here tonight. So, but what I mean to say would be this. Ethnicity has nothing to do with it. Where it comes from is what? It's that we're all related by blood all the way back to one man named Adam. And because of the fall, because of sin, because of the sinful nature that the Bible says is within all of us, that's where the issue lies tonight. It's that we have a battle with self, and it goes all the way back to the first that were selfish and the first that lacked self-control. And the first that went for really what they wanted being Adam and Eve, and it's been passed now to all of us here. Why is self so hard to control? And why does it take the Holy Spirit to do what this says here? A resolute control over one's desires, which would in turn produce action. Why would God bring such a harsh judgment upon Moses' lack of self-control here? He told him right then and there. He said, because you did not believe in me, and see me as holy in the eyes of the people, to uphold me as holy, therefore you will not bring this assembly in. God saw the action as such an affront to his character. Two things: to not obey him was to not believe in him. That's powerful. Think about that tonight. That's how God saw it. I don't believe that's how Moses saw it. I'm sure Moses say, oh Lord, I believe in you. I just made a really big mistake there. But to God, he says, because you did not obey me, it's that you did not show to the people that you believe in me. How do we show that we believe in God? By obeying him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And so for one step here, to not obey is evidence that we don't believe, God said, but also to not obey him explicitly, that he was to go and do what? Speak to the rock. To not obey explicitly was not to hold him up. God says, you did not hold me up as holy before the people. Wow. What a picture for us tonight. When we obey God, we are exalting God as a holy God. And when we disobey God, what are we doing? To the image of God. That's how God sees it. Very differently, I think, than we would. So two incredible lessons tonight. Both to obey God, but beyond that, of course, in this lesson, and as we look at this story, and so many we could look at, is a desire that we should all have tonight. Holy Spirit, help me by your power to exercise self-control. A couple just quick examples of good illustrations to us of self-control in Scripture. One of them would be David. David was ready literally to tear a man's head off, and his name was Nabal. And Nabal was not a good guy. Matter of fact, the Bible describes him as harsh and badly behaved. One translation says brutish and mean. So he was not a good man. Many of you remember the story well. But that man's wife, Abigail, was not only a beautiful woman, but she was a wise, it says, and a very skillful woman with her words. And she ran ahead of her husband, who was going to lose his very life, and she fell before David. She brought gifts to David, and David was poised with 400 men to take Nabal out. And his wife came, and she pleaded. If you remember the story, it is several verses in length, as she just pleads with David to not do what she knows he has the power to do. And what did David do? David, it says, put down his sword. And he said, you can return and we will return and I will not take revenge upon your husband. It was a moment of self-control. If you know the story of David and the season that David was in right there, that's amazing that David was willing to do that. But how many know Abigail was awful good looking? But also, what did she later become? David's wife. Because God struck Nabal down later in the story, and David ended up taking Abigail as a wife. But none of that is in this part of the narrative. In this part of the story is simply David exercised incredible self-control. And he let God then bring the judgment rather than him. How many know that's really good for us to think about tonight? How often it is that we want to bring that judgment. It might be by tongue or it might be by sword, but to let the Lord be the one to do the judging. And that's what God did. A second example, I think, is Joseph, just quickly. But you know the stories. Joseph stands there in front of his brothers. He had the authority at that very moment to get all the revenge that he wanted back on his brothers. He had the ability, the power right then, to have them thrown into prison. He had the ability to remove them of any future family time. He had the ability to ruin the rest of their lives the way they had ruined 17, we believe, some say 13, 15 years of his life. And then we come to this point. How many years? We don't know have passed by before that point that he's a ruler then in Egypt. We know 13 years of prison and years then that have passed and the brothers are there. What he could have exercised upon them, but instead he exercised self-control. And I think of another one, kind of a unique one, New Testament. And that's a man who is known to be the son of encouragement. What was his name? Barnabas. And what did Barnabas do? But it says in Scripture that Paul, and we see a side that all of us might kind of have in our nature sometimes, but Paul was so incensed with a young man by the name of John Mark. And John Mark had basically abandoned. He had fled the missionary team of Paul and Barnabas. And Paul was so angry, and yet Barnabas was so under control that those two come at each other. And Barnabas, and it says, Scripture says it this way, that they had a sharp disagreement and so that they decided to part ways. So that disagreement was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas, two wonderful apostles, the apostle of the church with Paul and then Peter, but Barnabas as well, son of encouragement, but you sense a self-control about him that Paul, I don't think, had. And the patience that goes with it, there they are again, patience with self-control. But see, self-control does more than just keep peace with others. Actually, you'll note as your statement tonight of what we want to look at on this is that actually self-control is good for us as much as it's good for others. A man who lacks self-control is what then? He's out of control. And he'll always pay a price for his rage. Always pay a price for that lack of self-discipline, self-restraint. One Greek scholar explains self-control of the spirit of a man, this word in the Greek, as this: to hold oneself in, to command oneself, to be the chief of oneself, to make one's heart be obedient, to command one's own desires, to be the master of what one wants, to say no to one's body. Wow. Those are hard things, aren't they? But it's self-control. And that can only bring a sense of peace and really inner strength when we allow the Holy Spirit to fulfill this as a fruit of His Spirit, a manifestation that He is within us, that we can live these things. See, self-control is key to us, first of all, resisting sin, resisting the flesh, even resisting the world. Some of what we talked about this past Sunday about our bodies. Self-control is so important to us, resisting the things that will bring us down in life. But as well, it's such a key to us living at peace with God. Because how many of you know tonight, when the Holy Spirit convicts you and you go ahead and cross over and you don't allow that self-control that the Holy Spirit will give us in that hour of temptation, the Bible says, what happens to us? Then we have to wallow and go through guilt and go through repentance and all of that. It's so much easier, isn't it, just to practice self-control. And that's what's promised to us by the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. As well, self-control is key to us living at peace with others. And really tonight, being a blessing to one another, self-control does. Controlling the tongue, controlling our anger, controlling our selfishness. Let's pray tonight that we will have self-control, and let's pray tonight that the Holy Spirit's power, it won't just be something that we just grit and we do all we can do, but that's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit within us is giving us this beautiful aspect of His fruit. Remember the picture of the orange, and you take it and there's 9 of those slices, and the last one listed is self-control, and that is the fruit that comes out of your life supernaturally to hold yourself, to command yourself, to be chief or the reign of yourself, to make your own self heart obedient, to command your own desires, to be master of what you want, and to say no to yourself. Self-control. How many want to have the self-control the Holy Spirit promises? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask you before we will turn to our table time tonight, what area in your life tonight do you really need the Spirit's help in order to exercise self-control? And I'm just going to allow us to take just a moment and to prayerfully examine our hearts right now. Lord, just lay your spotlight upon us of an area that we need to work on, Lord. Speak to us. We pray, Jesus. What is an area tonight that you really, really need to work on? And then I want you to think of 2 directions, and then we're going to pray. The first one is, how would you, controlling that area better in your life, having that self-control, that self-constraint, how would that bless others? How could that be good for those around you? Maybe your spouse or your friends or people that you spend time with, other family members. How could you, controlling that area, how could it be a blessing to them? Many of the things that we need to work on are ways that would be a blessing to others. Beyond that, secondly tonight, how would that be good for you, a blessing to yourself as you would control yourself in that area tonight? Father, thank you for Galatians 5. And as we come to the end, Lord, of these 9 wonderful fruit of your Spirit, Lord, I pray, God, for all of us here, Lord, every single one of us, Lord. We just say, Holy Spirit, help us to exhibit and to manifest, to show to those around us, Lord, love and joy, peace and patience and kindness, goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, Lord. Help us, Lord, because against such there is no law, Lord. We would just be living what you want us to live with no concern. We'd be at such peace with you, God, such peace with ourselves, and such peace with others if we would just live these things. And tonight especially, Lord, if we would just practice self-control. So we pray right now, Lord, first of all, for all of us, the area that we thought about, the area that you bring to our mind, Lord, maybe even after tonight, Lord, an area as we drive home or tonight as we lay our head down at night, Lord, for the night's sleep, you may just speak something to our hearts, Lord. May we be responsive to you, to practice, to exercise the self-control you want us to have, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that not only for your glory, first of all, but also, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us, and also just to be at peace, Lord, we pray. As we turn now to our time of discussion and then later to prayer, Lord, I just ask you to bless our time, Lord, and may iron sharpen iron around these tables tonight, Lord, as we turn and consider these discussion questions in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen tonight. Amen. Amen.